It's an honor to be with you all tonight and to share. You know, as we are currently in this season that we call winter, right? There's lots of seasons in life that we experience. You know, there are summer months when things are warm and sunny and great and nice. And then it progresses into fall and then into winter. And then there's renewal with spring. And those seasons, they come and they go, and they have sunny days and sad days and warm days and rainy days. And for me, the last several years, really since COVID, professionally, has been like, whew, this is hard. This is really challenging. And, you know, I've been a business owner for many years, and like, this has been like any other season in my life. And yet, if those who know me, I have a pet peeve, and this is like warning to all of you, don't ask me, hey, how are you? Because that's like a loaded question. Do you really want to hear how I'm doing right now? Because, and that could be the case for all of us, like deep down. And sometimes we kind of do that with one another, even like on Sunday mornings, haven't seen you all week, like, hey, how are you? And you're like, good, how are you? And we don't really want to give the time or the energy to really get to know, like, how are you doing? And so one of my dear wife recently came across that statement, and almost like to flip it around, don't ask me how I'm doing. Ask me what I know to be true. And wow, that really changes it, doesn't it? Because then that either does one of two things. It's like, hey, this is really hard for me right now, and yet this is what's true about, and which we'll get into in just a second. But if we're all about feelings, boy, we can be all over the place, right? But what is truly deep down going on? And so one of my kind of go-to verses in my life, I used to, I went through a lot of tests and scores and whatnot whenever I would, on my journey to dental school and all that, and I'm sorry, but I would write in pencil on the desk, Romans 8:28, just the verse, and then I would, when I was done, I would take my thumb and just erase it, right? But let me just read that verse, and this has basically become my verse for my life. Romans 8:28, and this is from the NIV, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so the seasons will come, the seasons will go, the good times, the bad times. And yet, what do you know to be true? And so I walked in, where's Emmanuel? Emmanuel, raise your hand. There is our brother Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us, right? And so whenever I see Emmanuel, I'm like, God with us. You know, that's such a great reminder in that we should be encouraging each other. Like we sang this morning, here now, you know, that the Lord is here now. And so these are things that when we go through our seasons of life, that will be high, that will be low, that we're reminding each other of what we know to be true. And so as we kick off into this season, this week season, this week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, of renewal, of reminder, because we forget. And so, so that's my story for tonight. Let me pray for us, and we'll just kind of keep it going, okay? Our Father and our God, we're grateful for the seasons of life. They make it interesting, and they make it challenging and hard. But we're grateful for them, because we know that you're here now and that you're with us, that you're our Emmanuel. And so we're super, super grateful for you. So as we continue our time together tonight, may you draw our radars towards you, that our eyes will see and our ears will hear what you have put onto our hearts and our minds. It's in your Son's name. Amen.
Our renewal services each year that we've been doing these are really special gatherings for us. They're very laid back, as you can tell. It's intentional, and really and truly, when we were planning this, Tanner emailed me or called me and says, I'm going with a group of folks, and it's most of our tech team, and we're going to New Zealand for a week on the same time. And I said, that's all right. We get the A team anyway, because these guys were amazing tonight. And just really, really, really thankful for so many people stepping up and sharing their gifts and their talents with us. But we want to welcome you tonight just to a place that you can take a deep breath and enjoy how much God loves you. For the next few nights, we're going to be journeying together, and we're going to be talking about seven different principles that we think are going to deeply encourage you in your walk with Jesus. I'd like to begin tonight just inviting you into a time of prayer. And so if you will, with the people around you, and if you're here by yourself and you've got the courage, just kind of group up with another group. Let's spend a few moments in small group prayer together, three or four folks, and let's praise God. As we were just singing, that He will be praised. And you may be stunned to discover that God draws near to you when you quit worrying about what's going on in your life and you quit thinking about the burdens you're carrying and the decisions you're trying to make and the struggles you're facing, and when you'll just pause and you spend time praising God, you may discover that He steps in and begins to give you perspective, and He blesses you with His presence. And so let's spend some time just praising God for who He is just for a few moments, and I'll close that time in prayer. But group up, and let's spend a few moments in prayer together. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. You are a good God. Thank you for being our Redeemer. Thank you for being our Sustainer. We praise you. We exalt you. You are good even when our circumstances are difficult. You're good even when seasons of life that we experience may include trials and hardships. You're always good. And Father, we pray that we might reflect the hope of our faith in our faces, in our conversations, and even as we comfort one another with the comfort that we've received from you. And Father, we praise you because we believe you're going to renew us over the course of this week. We offer ourselves to you. We offer our minds to you. We offer our families, our friendship circles to you. We ask that you would step in and God, that you would demonstrate your goodness through us to others, that they might also be renewed and may be reminded of how good you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the island of Malta is a really small island in the Mediterranean. If you want to visualize where it is, the nation of Italy looks like a boot. And as you look at the nation of Italy, it looks like it's kicking this misshapen football. And that misshapen football is not Malta. It's a bigger island called Sicily. And Sicily, if you go 50 miles south over the Mediterranean, you'll come to this tiny island of Malta. It is a beautiful island, and the residents there are intensely proud of it. Today, it has about 500,000 people that live there, and surprisingly, it's the smallest national capital in the EU by area and by population. In the first century, though, the people that lived there had resisted Romanization. They resisted the Roman Empire and the Romans' culture. They prized their own local culture. So they were a very cliquish group of people, the natives who lived there. And they enjoyed a beautiful island paradise there in the Mediterranean. But one day in the first century, their lives were interrupted by shipwreck. And as they word spread throughout the island that there'd been a shipwreck off the coast, several of the men and others ran down to the coast to see if they could give any aid to those who might have survived this shipwreck. They were stunned to realize it was not just any shipwreck, but it was a Roman transport ship, full of Roman soldiers carrying prisoners on their way to Rome. They were even more surprised when they realized that this ship had 100% survival rate from the shipwreck. Everybody on the ship survived. They made it onto the island, and as the islanders began to practice hospitality and care for them, they were all wet and chilly. They started a fire, and they began to feed them. One of the guys who had been shipwrecked was helping them put wood on the fire. And as he did so, a snake came out of this wood, bit him, and the islanders were like, this guy is twice cursed. Obviously, the gods are after him. They tried to kill him in the shipwreck. That didn't work, and so now the gods are going to make sure that he dies by snake bite, because they all recognized it was a poisonous snake. So they all kind of sat around, just kind of like, poor guy, just watching, waiting for him to gasp his last breath. But this guy was a little bit unusual, wasn't very attractive. He's kind of stoop-shouldered, older. He sat there, he just kept eating, seemingly undisturbed by the circumstances and the situation. Crazily enough, everybody that would survive the shipwreck with him wasn't that surprised either. They were just kind of like, yes, this guy, it's crazy what goes on around him. Well, that was the Apostle Paul's introduction to the island of Malta. He was being transported to Rome as a prisoner. He had appealed to Caesar and had hoped to share his testimony about Jesus to Caesar. Little did the Maltese know that day, though, that they would be learning two important principles that we're going to be learning tonight of the seven that we're going to be looking at this week. But the first principle that they are going to learn is that God is always at work around you. God is always working. It's not like God is up in heaven like bored, waiting on us to do something. God's always at work. He's always in the business of saving people. He's always in the business of renewing lives. He's always in the business of transforming people. He's always in the business of encouraging people. He's in the business of calling people to himself and introducing himself to the world through his people. God's always at work. And the Maltese are going to learn that the way that Paul got to their island was really a circuitous journey. It didn't just involve a shipwreck. God had to do a lot to get Paul to Malta. God had been at work in their life, but because Paul was at Malta, because Paul had recognized that God is always at work and he had stepped into what God was doing and joined him in his activity, Paul got to see some things happen on this little island of Malta in the short time he was there. I want to invite you to turn to Acts 28, beginning in verse 7 with me, and we'll read a few verses. Acts chapter 28, verse 7. It says, "Now, in the area around that place was an estate belonging to the leading man of the island named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. Publius's father was in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went to him and praying and laying his hands on him, he healed him. And after this, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. And so they heaped many honors on us, and when we sailed, they gave us what we needed." And verse 11 says, "After 3 months, we set sail." Think about what's going on here. This is the very first group of Christians, because Paul had some companions with him that followed Jesus too. The very first believers in Jesus Christ these people had ever met. Survived a shipwreck, survived a snake bite. They're in an island paradise in the middle of the Mediterranean, being entertained by the leading man on the island, so they're being feasted, prisoners and Roman soldiers. And Paul finds out that this man's dad is sick. And who does that as a guest in someone's home? Says, "Let me see the sick person." Because Paul had compassion. And Paul knew someone that also had power. His name is Jesus. So he goes in, and imagine, we read it, and it just says Paul laid his hands on him and healed him. Praying. This is the first Christian prayer these Maltese people had ever seen or heard in their life. First healing they'd seen as a result of a Christian prayer. So what was their response? Send word. So everyone on this small island who was sick converged on Paul over the next 3 months. And he and his companions spend time healing them all. They learn that God is always at work around you. It's pretty fascinating when you think about these people who are on the island of Malta. Some of these people were probably sick with diseases and things that would lead to death. Perhaps they had been crying out to whatever gods they worshiped for healing. And the one true God hears their prayers, and he reaches down and he sends a missionary to their island who prays for them, touches them, heals them, and they step into a new type of living and a new type of existence. So the first principle is God always at work around you. Now the Maltese learn the second principle, which is God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. The God of the universe made sure that one of his servants went to this remote, tiny Mediterranean island to call these people to faith in the one true God through Jesus Christ. God will go to great lengths to reach hearts. God was at work. Paul joined him in his activity. He winds up on the island of Malta, on the way to Rome as a prisoner, and who could have ever written this script? The interesting thing is that after Paul leaves Malta, it's the last mention of Malta in the New Testament. We don't know of the names of any converts to Christianity. We don't know the names of any disciples that were made. We don't know, as I shared this morning in the message, Paul Harvey's the rest of the story. That's the one thing that I can't wait to get to heaven and like go to the Blockbuster section and check out the VHS tapes and watch some of these things and just say, I want to know what happened after. We just don't know. Which brings me great comfort. There will be a day where Jesus calls me home. And there will be a day where people are going to like, Jeff who? Unless Jesus comes back for all of us before then. And I can rest assured, based on the word of God and the testimony, that it's not about my work, but it's about God's work. God is always at work around you. And part of this opportunity for renewal this week is for you to be reminded that you're invited into his activity. And for the time that you're here, for the time that you have this life, God invites you to work with him in his work. And as you do so, you're going to experience things that you couldn't have ever asked or imagined. You experience life in its fullest and a sense of vibrancy. But let's be reminded that God had to do something pretty tremendous to get Paul to the island of Malta, didn't he? What did God have to do to get Paul there? Because as Paul is recognized as somebody pretty special on the island of Malta, in Acts chapter 7, he was somebody that was persecuting Christians. His name was Saul. How was God going to get Saul, who hated all of these people who said that Jesus was the Messiah, how was God going to get Saul to Malta as a missionary for him? God was at work. God was at work around him. In Acts chapter 8, if you want to turn there, verse 1, the very first martyr of the New Testament church, his name was Stephen. Guess who was there approving of his death? Saul. How's God going to turn this story around? In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, Saul agreed with putting him to death. On that day, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and mourned deeply over him. Saul, however, was ravaging the church. He would enter house after house, drag off men and women, and put them in prison. How is God going to get Saul to become Paul and get him to Malta to tell these people about Jesus? It got worse in Acts chapter 9. If you want to turn over a few pages, look at verse 1 of Acts 9. Even as the church continued to grow, Saul is still pursuing people. It says Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and he requested letters from the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus himself appeared to Saul in a bright light on his way to Damascus, intending to arrest disciples there. And that began Jesus' intersection of Saul's life, who became Paul, who had to confess, God, you've been at work around me and I didn't recognize it. I was actually working against you. And now, God, I want to step into your activity. And the beautiful thing about that is, even as God was always at work around Saul, he stepped in and pursued a continuing love relationship with Saul that was real and was personal. So that years later, Paul is shipwrecked. He's snake bit. And he turns around and he heals Publius's father and the islanders of Malta. And we have no record what happened next. That seems to be the way with a lot of us who follow Jesus. Some of the most faithful people we all know were nameless saints in small churches scattered across our country and across our world who were simply faithful, who loved the Lord Jesus, who served, who poured out their lives. But because they recognized that God was always at work around them, and they stepped into a personal and real relationship with Jesus, they got to be used in their time and their place, however small it was, whatever island they lived on. They were used for a time to extend the message of the gospel. Might you be used as well? Is God calling you to step into his activity? He's pursuing a continuing love relationship with you that's real and personal. I want to share with you one more story from the New Testament. It's a group of guys who had been pretty convinced that this guy named John was something special. We call him John the Baptist. He wasn't John the Southern Baptist. Don't get your hopes up. He's John the Baptist. And he was preaching and teaching that the kingdom of God was here. It's time to repent. The Messiah was soon to arrive. Philip was one of John the Baptist's disciples. Peter's brother Andrew was also one of John the Baptist's disciples. But if you look at John chapter 1, verse 45, here's the story. Philip found a friend of his from Capernaum named Nathanael. So in verse 45, Philip tells Nathanael, "We have found the one," referring to the Messiah, "the one that Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets. And this person's name is Jesus. He's the son of Joseph, and he's from Nazareth." And the famous line from Nathanael is, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Some of you might have been thinking, anything good come out of Arkansas? And Carolyn and the kids did, but Philip answered, "Come and see." And then Jesus sees Nathanael coming toward him. Now, mind you, they've never met in person, okay? Jesus sees Nathanael coming toward him and says, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael is stunned, and he says, "How do you know me?" So stop for a moment before we read on. Nathanael was a young man who loved God, who had recognized that God is always at work around him. And so when his friend Philip came and said, "We think we found the Messiah," Nathanael was willing to go and check things out. So Nathanael is coming knowing that he's about to meet or encounter the person that Philip and others thinks is the Messiah sent by God to save the people from their sins. But Nathaniel had always been a sensitive soul, after God's heart, wanting to serve the Lord. And Jesus speaks to him in a way that indicates that Jesus has seen him and knows his character. Here comes an Israelite in whom there's no deceit. And for whatever reason, that spoke so deeply to Nathanael that he knew something was different about this man. You'll find out the same thing when you approach Jesus, and many of us have in our moments of salvation or thereafter, is that we discover we're not discovering God, but God has been pursuing us. And he knows us, and he accepts us, and he loves us, and he invites us into this continuing love relationship that's real and personal. But this is what Jesus responds to Nathanael when Nathanael says, "How do you know me? Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you," Jesus answered. "Rabbi," Nathanael replied, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Why was that such a stunning exchange? We don't know what Nathanael was doing under the fig tree, but we can be rest assured that he was doing business with God. He was praying for answers. He was praying for hope. He was praying for direction. He was praying to the Lord. He was doing something, because when Jesus said, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree," it doesn't mean that Jesus was like off in the distance, like spying on him. It means that Jesus, because he's Son of God, he's Messiah, he's Savior, Sustainer, Creator, Jesus saw him. Jesus had heard his prayers. How stunning would it be to meet somebody that says, "I know what you were praying about last night. I know what you were struggling before the Lord with. I heard you. I saw you." To be seen by God. So here's the profound thing, as Nathanael learns both of these principles. He learns that God is always at work around him. He'd been looking and waiting for the Messiah, and bam, here he was. God was at work. This was the day. This was the season that God had sent his Son Jesus. Nathanael learns that God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that's real and personal, because he invited Nathanael into his work. It was personal for Nathanael. It was real for Nathanael. Jesus stepped in. But guess what? It's the same with the Maltese. You know, we don't have another mention of Nathanael's activity in the entire New Testament. He's named in a couple of lists of the disciples, but in the entire rest of the New Testament, he's also called Bartholomew. But in the entire rest of the New Testament, there's no mention of what he did. There's no mention of something he said. He fades off the pages. But does that mean that he wasn't involved in God's activity? Not at all. It means he was working with God. He was ministering as one of the 12 disciples with Jesus. He was sent out by Jesus. We know he did things. We just don't have a record of them. And again, that'll be a fun VHS tape to check out when we get there. But all we know about the Maltese and all we know about Nathanael is that God showed up in their life. God had been at work, and when God showed up, he invited them into his work. He pursued a continuing love relationship with them that was real and personal. So here's what we're going to do for the rest of our evenings together. You're probably going, "I feel like I've heard some of these principles before, and I'm just taking them completely out of this book." This book is Experiencing God. It's by a man named Henry Blackaby. I have been through this study, 8 times over the past 30 years. Every time I go through this study, God uses it in my life in a significant way. Our leadership board began going through it together, and We're on week two. There's 12 weeks, 5 days worth of Bible study for each week. And we're not mandating, we're not demanding, we're just inviting any of you that may be interested to make this journey with us. We've done this before as a church a few years back. But I think tonight we would all say, we really do believe that God is always at work around us. And we believe that God pursues a continuing love relationship with each one of us that's real and personal. And maybe you would say, I want to experience God. And I don't care if anybody ever knows my name. But I want to be faithful in my generation and in my day with my years. And I want to see how God might use me for His glory and my good and for others' blessing. I think that as you step into that, as you respond to that, whether you go through experiencing God or not, if you'll step in and say, I want God to use me for His glory and His purposes, you're going to discover, like the Maltese people, and you're going to discover, like Nathaniel, that God will step into your life. He'll invite you into His activity. He's going to enable you to minister it to others and then bring glory to Himself. And you'll discover that as we praise God, you'll be renewed, but also as you serve God by blessing others, you'll be renewed as well. Let me pray for us.